Take your copy of God's Word and open to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we'll be focusing on verses 13 through 15, but we will read 1 through 15 to get the context of where we're at in Galatians. I am so thankful for a body of believers that is committed to the exposition of the full counsel of God's Word. We don't just hear what Ronnie or Matt feel like preaching that week, but we work through the full counsel of God's Word. I'm thankful Ronnie covered verse 12 last week, and we get to jump right into this. I'm thankful that you are accustomed to 45-minute sermons, and if a brother who only preaches a couple times a year goes a little longer than that, you will love him, and you will hang on every word that God has him to say. Galatians chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. As we have seen during our time in the study of Galatians, the Judaizers had brought a gospel in of their own making, a gospel message, a message of good news that they proclaimed to those in the church of Galatia that said, yes, Jesus is the way plus these other things that we can offer you, plus circumcision, plus observing dietary laws, plus these calendar observances, Jesus plus these things. This heresy was distorting the gospel. This heresy was of such importance to Paul that he wastes no time back in chapter 1, verse 6, saying, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. The gospel of God given to Paul and the apostles does not change, does not evolve over time. We look around and we see many attempts to change the gospel, to add to or take away. That has been consistent throughout the history of the church. Those that would add to the gospel, thinking we just need to add a few fine points here. This will make those people better servants of God, those who would take away. The cross is offensive. Let's try and soften the blow of the cross. There is one gospel. We have seen that throughout Galatians. We've seen that throughout the whole of God's Word. From Catholic distortions to mainline Protestant views, the desire to take away and add to the simple gospel that God sent His Son to die in the place of those who deserved His wrath so that they might become His adopted children through grace. Through faith for His eternal glory, that is the good news. We don't take away from that. We don't add to that. Paul was in a fight, and we must recognize that there will be gospel distortions until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day He returns, and we must be prepared to insist upon its purity. You and I, as we walk hand in hand as a body of believers, must insist, must never let down our guard, saying there is one gospel. There are no other gospels. Our brother, early on, Ronnie said, it's what's in it and what's not in it that makes it it. You are not, and you never will be, saved by what you do. Paul has gone to great lengths early in this letter to show the believers in the church in Galatia that faith alone justifies. This glorious gospel he has shown us has freed us from the yoke of ever trying to earn our standing before God. We cannot earn our standing before God. As we have seen, because of what Christ accomplished, as what we're getting into in the fifth chapter, because we can't earn our standing, but in Jesus Christ, our standing has been secured. We are free. Brothers and sisters, we never wake up and say, I hope I can make God love me today by the things I say, by the things I do. No, we are free to live in that constant and consistent embrace of the love of God. There's never a day we say, I think I did pretty good today. God probably is happy with me. And there's never a day in Jesus Christ where we say, I blew it today. God's going to disown me. It won't happen. It won't happen. That's the freedom that he's speaking of here. Freedom that allows us to live life knowing that we are secure in Jesus Christ. We are free, brothers and sisters, from sin. We are free from the curse of the law. We are free from the elementary principles of this world. Christ's sacrifice covers our sin. It frees us from the guilt of sin and increasingly frees us from the power of that sin. And we're longing for the day of Christ when that is complete. We are free. Our text today reminds us of that call to freedom. Our text today cautions us about our freedom. It also speaks of something that is always a companion of freedom and looks finally at a dangerous corruption of freedom. Look with me at verse 13. For you were called to freedom. Past tense, called out. Peter would say, we were called out of darkness and into his marvelous light, and therefore into freedom. Think about that word call. We are familiar with the outward, external call of the gospel, proclaiming to all men to repent and believe upon Jesus Christ and be saved. We are familiar with the call in Romans 10. If you even flip back over there, Romans 10, that outward external call of the gospel that we are to be making to all. Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. They must hear that call to turn. Turn from sin and self and turn to Jesus Christ. We are equipped by God to go and make that call. But there's more going on here than Paul talking about that external call that you heard from someone proclaiming the gospel to you, and God made you alive and you responded in faith. He's talking more about what's going on internally here in Galatians chapter 5. The internal or effective call. In John 8, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. In John 10, he speaks about knowing his sheep and calling them out by name. We recognize that as him making them alive through his Spirit, bringing them to himself. The work that God does in our hearts. Work we don't produce on ourselves, in ourselves, right? We do not work up our faith. We do not spend time contemplating and contemplating and finally say, I think I fully understand it. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But what God does is he makes us alive to himself, gives us this new heart and new eyes to see in Jesus Christ. I cannot earn salvation, but has been earned for me through him. He's done all that is needed. He brings me to himself, and he, the call that he places on my life in that glorious conversion, is a call to live in freedom. A call to live in freedom, never wondering, have I done enough? Never wondering, am I good enough? But ever looking to the finished work of Christ upon the cross. Ever looking to the empty tomb and resting assured, I am his. I am his. He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. No doubt in our minds. That's gospel freedom. Chains fall off. He ushers us into freedom to live as he calls us to live. So many people get this backwards. They think, I've got to live a certain way to earn God's favor. No, you have to recognize the perfect Savior lived and died in your place so that you might live the life God's calling you to live. You can never pursue holiness apart from Jesus Christ. It leads to death. It leads to destruction. It leads to those around you being destroyed. Paul is gravely concerned that the church at Galatia is forgetting the message of the gospel that he proclaimed to them. And they are allowing these that come in and add things to the gospel to now rule and reign in this body. And he is saying, stand up. Remember the call that was placed upon you. Remember, you were called to freedom, brothers. You were called to freedom. I think it's funny a lot. We sing And Can It Be. And Charles Wesley wrote And Can It Be. And we're Reformed Baptists, so you just get a good chuckle out of that sometimes. But And Can It Be, the verse where Wesley talks about coming alive. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me. That's gospel freedom, that Jesus Christ dying in your place allows you to live a life you could never live in the flesh, a life of obedience to our Father, a life of witnessing to the glorious gospel of those around you, a life of holiness. Has that call come to your life? As we read God's word and we see that, we must ask one another, has that call come? Am I living this life that I live now because Jesus died in my place, because he made the way for me to be an adopted child of the Father? What an amazing, amazing statement. You were called to freedom, brothers. You think about the freedom that you're to live in. It's already been discussed in this church as we've studied through the book of Galatians. We first approached it in chapter 2, verse 4. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, so that they might bring us into slavery. False brothers had come in. And we've talked about this glorious freedom that we're in to enjoy. They slipped in to spy out our freedom, to snuff it out. They slipped in and added things to the gospel, unchecked. Where in this church was now hearing a gospel plus is what made you right with God the Father. False brothers coming in using legalism to destroy the joy of Christian freedom. There in chapter 2, verse 4, he gave us an idea of what freedom is by telling us what it isn't. It isn't those who are coming in and adding other requirements to faith. It isn't Jesus plus. As we get further into today's verses, I want to immediately caution you as we talk about, we're going to see this discussion about legalism a little bit more, and then we'll talk about license. You know, a brother of mine years ago said, you got to be careful because sometimes we get into ditches as believers. We can get into a ditch over here and forget that we're to be focused. Forget we get into the ditch of legalism and distort the gospel. We can get into the ditch of license and forget the freedom that we're to be walking in is always magnifying our God and is always promoted in the love of our brothers and sisters. We can get into ditches. And as I thought about that, I use that term a lot, but I don't want you to view a ditch here as something your car might get stuck in, and you call your buddy, and he'll tow you out, and you'll be okay. This is a ditch where if the car goes in it, it's going to be totaled, someone's going to get hurt, and people might die. This is a serious ditch that you can get into, and God willing, the Spirit works and you are alert to the fact that these aren't things to be toyed with. That's why Paul was so adamant early on and throughout this. I mean, look at that. I wish that they would emasculate themselves. He's serious about what's going on here and what's at risk. So as you look at these verses today and we talk about the danger of legalism, the danger of license, they're destructive to liberty. They're destructive to freedom, and they're destructive to God's church. So understand that just as a precursor as we delve further into that. As we've learned over the weeks, the curse that lies upon us all because we've failed to do what the law commands has been broken by Jesus. We are freed from the law's curse. We don't have a detailed list of rules and regulations given to us upon our freeing, being freed from that curse, or we're not supposed to. We, though, like to give a list of do's and don'ts, adding something to Scripture that isn't there. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't go to movies. Don't play cards unless it's Rook and that somehow got in there. Don't dance. Don't listen to a certain type of music. don't wear yoga pants. You know, rules like this that stifle Christian freedom are what we are all about in the flesh. We love doing things like that. We love giving lists and check boxes and say, move through this. The church at Galatia was doing brilliantly at that. They are giving lists. Jesus plus this, and you'll be accepted. That's all you got to do. That's a distortion of the gospel. That's wrong. Legalism is this heart disposition toward God that links favor with God to behaviors and practices. We've heard it every week. Brothers and sisters, as we've heard time and time again, the gospel says you are not enough and you will never be enough, but you don't have to be. Kill that heart of legalism that is in you right now. Kill that heart of legalism that wants to give this list of do's and don'ts in order for people to earn favor before God. I remember early on, and God knows very much that being in youth ministry for a time, I know that's a foreign word here. I was a youth pastor, forgive me. Many, many years ago, I can remember bringing these boys in, and they were not believers. They came in because we were having pizza and basketball afterwards, and these boys came in to this revival service I think we're having, and an older gentleman at the back was quick to tell one of the young men, son, you get that hat off your head in the Lord's house. And I was like, oh man, what have I done here? And afterwards, later on, we play basketball out after we're meeting, and I was showing off my skills out there in the parking lot. I was much younger and more athletic, more handsome. But these gentlemen were playing. We're playing till late up in the evening. I get a call from a deacon. And I just want you to know that we've got some people playing basketball on the court at church that may not be a good representation of the people we want in our body. As a 23-year-old, I probably didn't handle that with a lot of grace, and I don't know that I earned a lot of friends through that. But you say, man, those are kind of out there examples. Really? Are they? You think about the checklist you have in your heart. For how a Christian should look, how a Christian should act, and then weigh that against what Scripture declares. And I think you'll find some shortcomings there. I think you'll find some areas you're off base. We've got to be careful. I praise God for the gospel clarity proclaimed from this pulpit and in this body of believers. May it never be, though, that week in and week out, we become those who speak more of certain opinions that we have. We speak more of opinions than we speak of the gospel of Christ. May it never be. Legalism speaks more of opinions. It adds to and makes people feel as if there is something I must do. May we never be in that place. We know, as we heard in the message in 5:1, God, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Stand firm in the freedom Christ has brought for you. Christ has bought for you. Don't go back to the prison house. Man, you know the situation right now, even in our country. We live in a country full of people that don't know what it is to have freedom. They really don't know what freedom is all about. This weekend, it's a long weekend, right? It's just a long weekend, Memorial Day. They've forgotten about what freedom is. And that's just a small example of who we are. In the church, we've forgotten the freedom we enjoy, and we long to have someone give us a list. Walk in the freedom. Stand in the freedom. Don't don't go back into the prison house. This is very personal. John 10 that we referenced earlier, Jesus knows his sheep. He calls them out by name to walk with him, to walk with him in freedom. Don't add rules and prerequisites that the scripture does not add. Here's the other side of that road. You've got this calling to live in freedom. But notice where he goes there in verse 13. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. He gives a caution about freedom. I said, don't major on the rules. Don't major on list. But don't go to the other ditch, which is dangerous and can kill people, and say, anything goes. Oh, man, it's good to be in Jesus. I can do whatever I want and nothing will change. Romans 6 addresses that, right? It addresses that really clearly. We do not sin so that grace may abound. That is not who we are. That is not where we live. We don't do that. Don't move from liberty to license. That's the tendency. And look back at church history. Church history is watching the pendulum swing from one ditch to the other quite often. This legalism abounds, and over here on the other side, license abounds. We're trying to be right in the middle. Opportunity for the flesh is given when license abounds. The danger was prevalent in the church at Galatia. Freedom presents an opportunity for the flesh. The flesh, the sinful inclination of fallen man that seeks to do his own will. The sinful inclination of a man that seeks to do his own will. I'll do it when I want to do it and how I want to do it. The idea of independence and autonomy instead of pursuing Christ as we've been freed to do. If you read the whole counsel of God, you understand what I referenced there in Romans 6. You don't need the Brent International Version. Let's go to Romans 6, 15 through 23. It says there in Romans 6, beginning in verse 15, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Hear me. You are free from sin. You are free from this master that you had. And this freedom is great. But this freedom has granted you to become a slave of righteousness, a slave of Jesus Christ, this bondservant of Christ, the idea that you keep getting throughout Scripture. It is not, you're free, you're going to heaven when you die, live how you want. Live how you want. And I don't want you or anyone here, and I thank God that I think the discipleship that's going on in homes is It's taken seriously. But I've sat with too many older families, and they know that their children are not in church. They see them living hellish lifestyles, and they go back and say, but I remember Vacation Bible School in 1964, and they walked down front, and then they were baptized later on. That is not the kind of freedom that we're talking about here. That you have made this public declaration that you belong to Jesus and your life afterwards has never reflected that. That is not gospel freedom wherein you're a slave to righteousness. Because you understand what God has done in Christ, and you must obey Him. You must love the church and build up the church with your life. You understand that it's not, oh, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, and I'm going to live with those people who are not, and then one day go to heaven. That is not it. License proclaims, do what you want. Do what you want. You went from slaves of sin to slaves of Jesus, bondservants of Christ, a new master, and no one is free to do their own thing. Don't let anyone ever let you think in Christ you are free to live however you want with no regard of what you intake through your eyes, your ears, your mouth, and through how you live. No regard for how you live. Paul got this pushback a lot about free grace. If we proclaim this gospel of free grace, people are just going to live how they want. And so you have these legalists sitting there ready to pounce and say, we've got to give them more rules. And Paul does in Romans 6 and throughout. No, he points them to Jesus, to what Jesus has accomplished, to all that he's done. You know, for every look at self, taking 10 looks at the gospel, at the cross, and what Christ has accomplished there, that affects how we live. No one will ever live out of license who understands what actually happened upon the cross, who understands what it means for there to be an empty tomb, who understands what it means that Christ is coming back to get his bride. No one will live out of license. You won't want to. We can fall into wrongly emphasizing our freedom and have this launching point for the flesh, which was Paul's great concern. We can emphasize our freedom to watch what we want, listen to what we want, when we know those things are being used to draw us into sin. We can say the Bible doesn't prohibit drinking and suddenly find ourselves drunk. We can say we are free and defend some very heinous things through our freedom. How easily freedom over the years has been used to defend sin. Thomas Manton said, first we practice sin, then we defend it, then we boast of it. First we do it, then we rationalize it, then we brag about it. Many of those that have come out in the last few years, and I think of Josh Harris and so many in that type of camp, you could kind of see this happening in their ministry, and it was this train wreck happening before your eyes, that men start to let things go a little bit and have different views and say, I've been enlightened by God that maybe my view on this was too conservative, too strict, and you start opening up this Pandora's box to many different beliefs and letting different things in. And before too long, you're making a video and saying, I just don't know that I can hold to the truths of Christianity anymore. You're willing to go down any road with anyone and unwilling to stand in the freedom that we have in Christ. And you quickly have deserted the one who would rescue us. We are free. We do it, we rationalize it, we brag about it. God, keep us from that. May we never, ever, as a body in our homes, ever, out of license, live a worldly life that does not honor our Father, that does not point to the fact that we've been redeemed by Christ. I think a good explanation of this is in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Paul is telling Titus, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. What did it appear doing? Training us to renounce. Jesus Christ has come, has changed us, and has trained us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We are a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Live out of that license. People who are zealous for good works. You are free to now be zealous for him. Zealous to live lives worthy of the gospel. You've been freed to do that. Understand that freedom that we enjoy. We could never do that apart from Christ. Now we can. So much about license is always, I can do this, I can do this. Instead of, I can do the things that were kind of questionable before, but now in Christ, I can say no to sin and yes to him at every point in my life. I can say no to self, I can die to self daily and live to him. And I could never do that apart from him. That's the freedom we enjoy. And that's where Paul continues to point us as you see this continue in Galatians chapter 5. See, I'm even skipping pages of notes because I'm not going to be serious about preaching for an hour and a half. You see this companion of freedom. The end of verse 13. "Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Jesus rescued us and calls us to love. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Last time I got to preach, it was about Jonah sitting under this tree that sprung up and died on him, and it mentioned a bunch of cows, and we had lots of questions afterwards in Jonah 4. So Ronnie said, "Well, I'm giving you the softball this time." Man, this is a hard, hard text where it says to live in the freedom that you have, and the way that we'll know that you're living in that freedom is the way you love the church, is the way you love and serve the church. I can tell you from experience, God does a great work on those who proclaim the word week in and week out. A great work in saying, man, loving the church, do you know what that means? It means serving those brothers and sisters that you have. It means laying your life down for them consistently. That's not really what we want to hear on a Sunday morning a whole lot. That we show our love, not just by singing loudly, not just by attending, not just by engaging in the study of God's word with brothers and sisters, but by serving the person to our left and the person to our right. Basswood has seen an explosion of people, and you guys that are from California, you know that. I think it's mostly you guys here today anyways. You've come in, you're like, take over the church type of thing. No, so many in the last 3 years, we've been here. Ronnie made it sound like this morning, Elizabeth and I have been here for years and years. I think it's three, and it doesn't feel like it because that COVID year was weird, but you guys have seen an explosion in the last few years. It amazes me at all the new people coming in. And man, that's a lot on our elders, because they're to give an account to God for how they're shepherding everyone here. And if they don't know you, that's hard. So get to know them, okay? Reach that hand out. Pursue them after the service. Talk to them. But on this body as well. It is easy to sit in whatever row 28 back there, right behind a pole every week, and be a part of this body and talk to a few people around me and not go over. Oh, you guys sit on the other side of the church, right? Not be able to do that. Guys, we're so prone to come in, take part in the service, and forget, even what our brother called us to today, that this is an opportunity for us to minister to one another. And that's what Paul says. The freedom that you have in Christ, it allows you to look to your left, to look to your right, to love that brother or sister, and to love them by serving them. That's hard. We're free. But what is true freedom? It's always going to be paired with this companion that is love. Side by side to lead us in the freedom we have. Love for God and love for others will always cause us to use our liberty within certain boundaries to honor the Lord. Legalists want to give you a list. Antinomians, those who want everything to go, they want to remove all boundaries. What Paul says here is love in the heart, not law in the brain, leads the Christian life. Love leads the Christian life. Growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus helps us use our freedom to serve our brothers and sisters. Let's focus. This is, as far as I can tell, outside of place your faith in Christ and the commands to place faith in Christ. This is the first command given in Galatians. Through love, serve one another. Listen to what happens when you put this command together with the first part of this verse. You were called to freedom. Through love, serve one another. You were called to freedom from servitude. Now, in love, serve one another. You were called to walk freely with Christ. Now, in love, die to yourself. Serve your brother. Love them as you love yourself. Give your life for those around you. Why is love, which serves the needs of others, the only way Christian freedom can express itself? Paul doesn't give options here, does he? You are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. But through love serve one another. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't abuse the freedom that God has given you and therefore lose it. Don't be yoked again to slavery. The works of the flesh and the fruit of love are not two different optional ways to live in freedom. The only way to live in freedom, according to this text, is when you serve one another in love. Because those are always companions. How do I know that I'm living in freedom? I am serving my brother and sister in love. Love is motivated by the joy we have of sharing our fullness. Love is motivated by the work that God has done upon us in Christ and us being overwhelmed with that and so excited that He's done that in others' lives as well. We are delighted to get to know someone new. As hard as that may be, to sit down at a table with a brother or sister and to hear what God has done in Christ to rescue them from their sin and make them His adopted children is something we should delight in. To get to be there for one another when we need one another. When there are moments, when there are hard times that come, I love seeing the church work when there are babies born, and that, you know, you get, if you have a baby at Basswood, you get meals for a year and a half. I think that's the deal here. So we want you to have lots of babies, families. Hey, bring them on. That is beautiful. When there's times of grieving, when there's loss, we care for one another. When there's times when we need counsel, when you see this dad, I mean, family integrated church, you can kind of tell the moms and dads that are ready to get home after the service on Sunday. It has been a marathon for them the whole time. We call them. We love them during the week. See how we can help, how we can come alongside. There are so many opportunities in this body to serve your brothers and sisters. And we must remember that isn't just for the deacons. That isn't just for the elders. But that's how we exhibit that we are walking in Christian freedom, by loving and serving those around us. That God would work in our hearts in such a way to see this as not an option, but as the calling He's placed on our lives. It's beautiful to see love overflow and fill the lives of others around us. It's beautiful when the church doesn't use freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but uses freedom as an opportunity to serve. He says in verse 14, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Don't confuse this. Leviticus 19:18, they weren't originally talking about self-love. Just, you know, self-esteem. Just believe in yourself a little bit more. No, Moses and Paul and Jesus were all talking about the fact that we all naturally care about ourselves. We all naturally want to take care of ourselves, want to pursue this happiness in and of ourselves. And what Paul does and what they've done throughout the scripture basically says, when you, not this sentimental self-esteem type of love, but when you love others the way you love yourself, you are fulfilling the law. You're taking that whole second table of the law that we went through today, and you're fulfilling that in the way that you care for them. I love my brother. Therefore, I'm not going to covet his stuff. I love my brother. I'm not going to covet his wife. I'm not going to lie to him. I'm going to honor those who God has put in authority over me out of my love. And therefore, fulfill the law. Christ Jesus perfectly fulfilled it. You living in the freedom that He has bought for you, you live in that. You're able to. The problem with the law was this external. The heart was wretched and couldn't obey. But God in Christ perfectly obeyed and made us these who are able to obey and live out of that. See, I believe there are moral absolutes for believers. Things you see in Scripture that it never really change. There was a call to not commit adultery. I don't think the New Testament just opens wide what was declared in the law, and you see that even expounded upon in the text. When you commit adultery, you fail to love. When you covet, when you live to advance selfish desires, when you live your life not thinking about what is good for others, the attention all on self and desires that you have, freedom is not being exhibited. Freedom you have is the power to obey. You've been liberated to do what is right. Freedom isn't the ability to choose what is wrong, but the ability to do what is right. And ask yourself the question, what in this situation is most loving? What brings God most glory? And work from that. What is the most loving to my brother here? What brings God the most glory? That's how I'll live, because that freedom has been bought for me. Last thing we see in this text is the corruption of freedom. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Having called for love, he now says this in verse 15, because they are living in a supposed freedom without the companion of freedom, which is love. Look at what you're doing to one another. We are not loving if we are biting and devouring. I know you needed me to say that to you today, but it's not loving to bite and devour your neighbor. Psalm 57:4, my soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. If you think you're walking in freedom, yet your life is dominated by sharp criticism, by this overwhelming desire to gossip at all points, you have a disregard for love. And maybe people even say this about you. Old so-and-so, they just tell you what they think. Man, don't ever view that as a compliment, church. Don't ever view that as a compliment, that you would say things that get a reaction because you say them from a calloused heart that's not loving toward your neighbor. Don't be that person. Maybe you are, instead of quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, you are quick to speak, quick to criticize, and slow to repent. And you love, not in this way, but you love yourself. This can destroy a body of believers. We've all seen something like this, where people say, hey, let's meet for coffee. Let's pray together. Let me send you this text. And that cannot be a platform for the destruction of a body where we are biting and devouring one another's under the guise of prayer or concern. But really, it's a lack of love. Be careful, church. Paul says, freedom's companion will always be love that serves the body, which serves brothers and sisters. Be careful, though, that you're not biting and devouring one another. We have mastered the art of being critical, especially over the last few years. I mentioned earlier, you know, I've seen dudes build their ministry on telling, you know, what's wrong with others and what's wrong with this church and what's wrong with this body and what's wrong with this man or his wife or his children. We have mastered a way to be good at that, to be critical, to bite and devour one another, and the ease of tweeting something so quickly, biting and devouring. Flee that. Get rid of that. Maybe it's causing you to have that same mindset. Hate that junk. Run from that. That can destroy. Those things, if you bite and devour, look at what follows. Watch out that you're not consumed. Peter said that Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We look like him when we bite and devour one another. Freedom and love produce the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Freedom and love always lead to those. Biting and devouring, well, soon in Galatians, the principle of sowing and reaping shows up. Self-love of license and harshness of legalism will reap a judgment from God. So how can we live? How can we live in love? Church, it's a lot to hear this calling, to hear someone say, don't be a legalist. Don't live in license. Love your brother by serving them, by laying down your life for them. Don't bite and devour one another. And you say, how? Well, if you're apart from Christ, let me be clear. You can't. You cannot do any of the things we've talked about today if you are just doing your best in this life. God in Christ made the way for you to be His, for you to live a life of freedom, and for you to honor Him with your life. You say, I don't have the resources to live like that. You don't have to find them. God in Christ provides them for you. Believer, remember, you're dead to self and alive to God in Christ. Believer, remember, you are a slave to righteousness. You are not your own, but were bought with a price. Now glorify God with your body. Ask God to remove sluggishness. God, give me a love for others that begins with people in this room. Go home, print out that church directory that's sent out in the email. Read over those names in that directory. If you need to know what they look like, what that person looks like, call my wife. She can find them on Facebook, and the FBI can't, and she'll show you their picture, and we'll get it all straightened out for you. And pray over them. Love them through praying over them, praying for them. And God willing, maybe that makes you pick up the phone or send a text and ask, hey, what's going on in your life? How can I serve you? That's a very, very practical way. Now, introverted people, people that celebrate when plans are canceled, you've got to fight against that. You have to hate that and really get out of your comfort zone and pursue these people. Isn't that amazing that I would stand up here and say, it's going to really be hard for you to pray for someone and ask them how you can serve them. But that's the truth. It's very hard sometimes because we're so inwardly focused. Print out that directory. Pray for other families in this body by name. Reach out to see how you might serve and enjoy the freedom you have in Christ. And then ask God to remove the self-love, self-pity, self-righteousness you have, and cause all our abounding joy to be in Him. And let that overflow and be seen in the way I serve others and the way I love others. This text is a high, high calling. But praise God, in Jesus Christ, we are not a people who come to the table with nothing, but filled with the Spirit in Christ. We can live according to what He's called us to here. So pursue this wholeheartedly. Not just dip your toe in. Wholeheartedly serve one another. Find out even today before you leave, how can I serve you? How can I love you? Kill the things that God has revealed, the legalism in your heart, the license in your heart that is not honoring to Him. And let's grow in Christ together. God, we are thankful that You love us, that You have made us Your own in and through Jesus. I thank You so much for this dear family, for how You have brought us together, for what You're doing in this body, building it up. I pray You protect this body. May we as Your children always, always stand against those who would try to dilute the gospel and distort the gospel. May it, if it be someone in this pulpit, if it be, even as Paul said, an angel from heaven, they be accursed. God, please protect the gospel proclamation here and build up Your church as we long for the day of Jesus. Cause us to love one another. Cause us to pursue that relentlessly. In Jesus' name, amen.